this Upanishad is studied, understood naturally when the person is highly mature and detached and dispassionate. Therefore, the word Aranyaka implies this is the Upanishads to be studied by mature, dispassionate people. In fact, if we take the whole Veda, there are three portions we can talk about: Brahmanam, Aranyakam, and Upanishad. So the Brahmana portion, the Karma Kandaha of the Veda, is otherwise called Brahmana portion of the Veda, which corresponds to the Grihastha Ashramaha. So Karma Kandaha, the Brahmana portion, corresponds to the Grihastha Ashrama. Aranyaka portion, which discusses, actually in the Karma Kanda, the Brahmana portion, the lots of karmani, the Vaidika karmani, the rituals are prescribed, therefore activity is predominant there. Whereas in Aranyaka portion, the predominant object matter is upasanani, meditations. For the Aranyaka portion, wherein upasanani are the important main topic, and that corresponds to the Vanaprastha Ashrama. So Brahmana corresponds to, Brahmana portion of the Veda corresponds to Grihastha Ashrama. Aranyaka portion of the Veda corresponds to the Vanaprastha Ashrama. And Upanishad, the portion, the end portion of the Veda consisting of Upanishads, corresponds to Sannyasa Ashrama. If a person lives properly a life enjoined by the Veda, the Vedic way of life, naturally one would have gone through properly all this Karma Kanda and Upasana Kanda. Then as a result of which, one would have definitely performed lot of rituals, or one must have lived a life of Karma Yoga, which must have helped a person to become really, to help a person to become mature and detached and dispassionate. Thereby he will be appropriately qualified for studying, understand the Upanishad also. When he completes his, he would have gone through the Grihastha Ashrama and Vanaprastha Ashrama, definitely. At least by the time the person has gone through the whole of Grihastha Ashrama, and he would have lived his life properly as a Vaidika, actually he would be prepared for this knowledge. Therefore, Aranyaka Shabdaha, the word Aranyakam, only indicates the person's maturity. So Upanishad studied and by a person who is highly mature and who is undetached and not dispassionate. Taught by equally mature teachers also. If the student is mature, means student teacher must be mature as well. There can't be immature teacher. That's why we say there is the sannyasi bihi anuchyamanatvat. Sanyasibhihi anuchyamanatvat sanyasibhyaha sakashat aranyaka shabdena suchyate. It is studied and taught by mature teachers to the mature students. The word called is known as the aranyaka shabda, implies that. So Brihat Aranyakam and Upanishad. And last class, I elaborately discussed the meaning of the word Upanishad. I told you the meaning. So you can say, it's called Upanishad because it removes the ignorance and ignorance born samsara. And also, it helps one take ownership of fullness, happiness as one's own nature. So, ajnana samsara nivartakatvat ananda sukha nitya nirantara sukha moksha prapakatvat Upanishad ityuchyate. It is known by this word Upanishad. Our Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Brihat Aranyakam Upanishad. These three words I made very, very clear for you. Now, so Upanishad is very big. As I told you already, it is as big as Chandogya Upanishad. But content-wise, it is much greater than Chandogya Upanishad. And this Upanishad, not only Upanishad is big. Now, this Upanishad is big. The Bhashyam of this Upanishad also is equally big. In fact, much bigger. Upanishad Brihati. Brihat Upanishad. It's a very big Upanishad. Now, we have to say what? What about the Bhashyam? Bhashyam is bigger. Brihattaram Bhashyam. Shankar Bhagavatpada's commentary on this Upanishad is much bigger. In fact, as I told you already, all the different aspects discussed in different Upanishads, all of them are discussed here. And Shankar Bhagavatpada has written commentary on those aspects when he commented upon those other Upanishads. But the same aspect when he writes commentary here, his commentary is also much bigger than the commentary is written for repeated on other Upanishads. Because the Upanishad Bhash, it looks Shankar Bhagavatpada must have enjoyed writing commentary on this Upanishad. This commentary is also much bigger. So Brihattaram Bhashyam, Shankara Bhashyam. Now, this also we can make how great the bigger, how the size of the Bhashyam itself tells you what now? The greatness of the Upanishad. Now, not only Bhashyam. What is Bhashyam and what is, we also have this very difficult to understand commentary sometimes. So you need commentary upon the commentary or commentary of the commentary. Bhashyasya Vyakhyanam you need. And that explanation or commentary upon the Bhashyam, the commentary, is called Vartikam. We also have Vartikam for this. And you know who is Vartikam? Bhashyakaraha is Shankar Bhagavatpadaha. And Vartikakaraha is Sureshwaracharya. So Sureshwaracharya's Vartikam. Sureshwaracharyaji always, he loved writing Vartikams. And he was known for, he was very, very popular, well known for the Vartikams. As right author of the Vartikams. So Vartikam is slightly different from the Bhashyam. What is the difference? I'll tell you. I'm going to give you today the Sanskrit definition of Bhashyam and Vartikam. Because having heard so many Upanishads, you should know definition of, you know what is Upanishad. Now you should also know what is a Bhashyam. And also you should also understand what is a Vartikam also. See, there is a Bhashyam means a commentary upon the words of the mantras, the original text mantras, original text. And in the Bhashyam, when the Bhashyakara, the commentator, when he writes the meanings of the words of the original words of the mantras, he will explain in his own words. He'll give the meaning of his own words also. So in the Bhashyam, you will have the meanings of the commentator writes the meanings, explanations of the original words of the text. And he writes the meanings of it. He explains the meaning of his own words also. If you find the commentator's explanation of the original words, an explanation of his own words of his explanations, it is called Bhashyam. It's a commentary. So in Sanskritam, you want, you can write down Sutrartho sutrartho varnyate yatra. Sutrartho varnyate yatra. Vakyai sutrartho varnyate yatra. Vakyai sutranusaribhihi. Sutranusaribhihi. Don't worry, I'll explain every word. Already I have told the meaning. It's very simple. Just sutrartho varnyate yatra. Vakyai sutranusaribhihi. I'll repeat it. Sutrartho varnyate yatra vakyai sutranusaribhihi. Swapadanicha. Next sentence. Swapadanicha. Swapadanicha. Varnyante. Swapadanicha varnyante. Bhashyam bhashyavido viduhu. Swapadanicha varnyante. Bhashyam bhashyavido viduhu. So bhashyavidaha viduhu. People who know what bhashyam is, what commentary means, what people who have an understanding of what a commentary is, what commentary means, are called bhashyavidaha. Bhashyavid means the knower of bhashyam, who can understand all about bhashyam, who understand what is bhashyam. They called bhashyavidaha. You know the word brahmavid, no, like that. Here atmavid. Bhashyavidaha means people who know about the commentaries, bhashyams, are called bhashyavidaha. And those people, viduhu, know. Bhashyavids know. What do they know? What is bhashyam? They know. According to them, what is bhashyam? Bhashyam is that yatra, where sutrartaha varanyate. Sutrartaha varanyate means what? Where there is explanation. Varnanam means explanation, description. But here we don't use the word description. We talk about the explanation. Where the meaning of the Upanishadic words, Upanishadic statements is explained. Sutram here means the words of the Upanishads, or statements of Upanishad, or statements of the Veda also. Vedic statement or Vedic words which are profound and rich and pregnant with meaning are called sutram. Sutram literally means an aphorism. But here the word sutram in this sentence indicates a sutram is that a Vedic statement, a words of the Veda mantras, which are highly rich and pregnant and in meaning and profound, are called, known as, known by the word sutram. So sutrartha, the meaning of the words of the Veda, meaning of the words of the Upanishad. No? Varnyate, explained. So sutrartha varnyate yatra. So bhashyam is that, a commentary is that, wherein the original words of the mantra are explained. And how they're explained? Sutra anusaribihi. And those who follow the very clearly the mantras. And not only they explain the original words of the mantras, they also explain what? Swapadanicha varnyante. So by the commentators, not only the original words are explained, also their own words are also explained. When somebody writes, when they write a meaning, after writing the meaning, they explain their own meaning also. Svapadanicha varnyante. So Shankara does two jobs then. He explains the mantra's words and he explains his own explanation. So explanation of the explanation and the explanation of the original words. If you find both, it's called Bhashyam. Explanation of the original words, explanation of the explained words. Explanation. If you find both, it is called Bhashyam. This is the definition of Bhashyam. So, Sutrartha Varnyate Yatra Vakyehi Sutranusaribihi Svapadanicha Varnyante Bhashyam Bhashyavido Viduhu. This is the Bhashyam. So, here we have Brihat Upanishad, Brihattaram Bhashyam. Now, you know, here Shankara's Bhashyam is also very big here. As I said, everything, whatever he wrote commentary upon in other Upanishads, and he has same factors, the same aspect when he writes commentary here, they are all much more expressive here. Therefore, the Bhashyams are very big. Now, Suresh Acharya has written the Vartikam here. And Vartikam, I tell you how many verses? 12,000 verses. Shankara Bhagavatpada's commentary has been commented upon by Suresh Acharya. 12,000 verses. And Vartikam is in verse form. Bhashyam is in prose form. Vartikam is in verse form. Vartikam is commentary upon the commentary. Explanation of the commentary is Vartikam. So in verse form. And here, so what is Vartikam? Not a big difference, but still some slight difference is there. What is that? Whatever the commentator has said. So in Vartikam is that wherein the commentator's words, whatever has been said by the commentator, is really analyzed thoroughly. There is a thorough analysis of the explanations of the commentator. And there's also analysis of the unexplained words, original words. If the commentator has left some words without explaining, taking it for granted, assuming that we know, then whereas this Vartika Karaha, he doesn't leave that. So there's also explanation of the words left unexplained by the commentator. Second aspect. Third aspect is, suppose if the comment, if this Vartikakara differs in his views from the commentator, and he'll also write his different views, the views where he differs also. So in the Vartikam will involve three factors. One is explanation of the commentator's explanation, or thorough analysis of the commentator's explanation. Then there'll be analysis of the words left unexplained by the commentator. Then there may be sometimes, rarely, criticism or openly or disagreement or different views. If the Vartikakara has a different view of the original word, then he can also explain. That also will be there in the Vartikam. What is Vartikam? So there's also definition of the Vartikam. If you want, better write it down. What is Vartikam? I must have done it in person, but I'm doing it today. Doesn't matter. Uktanukta duruktanam uktanukta Uktanukta Duruktanam. I'm going to write it down in Sanskritam. I'll write it to Rajniji. He'll send you all. Okay. He'll post it to all of you. Or he'll put it on the website. Don't worry. Or Nina also can write it to all of you. Uktanukta Duruktanam. Chinta Yatra Pravartate. Uktanukta Duruktanam. Chinta Yatra Pravartate. I'll repeat it. Uktanukta Duruktanam. Chinta Yatra Pravartate. Tam Grantham. Vartikam Prahuhu. Tam Grantham Vartikam Prahuhu. Vartikajnaha Manishinaha. Vartikajnaha Manishinaha. I'll repeat it. Uktanukta Duruktanam. Chinta Yatra Pravartate. Tam Grantham Vartikam Prahuhu. Vartikajna Manishinaha. I'll repeat it. Only that's all. Okay, only two definitions, not more definitions. Uktanukta Duruktanam. Chinta Yatra Pravartate. Tam Grantham Vartikam Prahuhu. Tam Grantham Vartikam Prahuhu. Vartikajnaha Manishinaha. Vartikajnaha Manishinaha. I tell you here. See, Manishinaha means men of discrimination, men of clear vision. This word Manishi we came across many times before. It's not something new for you. People of firm understanding, clear understanding are called Manishinaha. So Manishinaha, the people of clear vision, they also Vartikajnaha, who know what Vartikam means, who understand Vartikam very well. Vartikam is a commentary upon commentary, or I can say even explanation of the commentary. So Vartikajnaha, people who know what Vartikam means, such people of clear vision, clear understanding, they call Vartikam, Vartikam Prahuhu. What do they call Vartikam as? What is Vartikam according to them? Vartikam is a text, Grantham, Tam Grantham Vartikam Prahu. They call that text a Vartikam. Which text? Yatra, where? Chinta Pravartate means where the attention is focused. The text in which attention is focused. Attention is focused means what? Attention is paid. It means thorough analysis is made. Analysis means analyzing something, means paying one's attention to it, is analyzing it. Therefore, chinta pravartate means where one's attention is placed. Attention is focused. Thereby, thorough analysis is made, thoroughly analyzed. What is analyzed there in the Vartikam is a text where thorough analysis is made of what? Three factors, he says. Ukta. Ukta means what has been explained by the commentator. So analysis of what has been said, explained by the commentator. Kadu ukta vishaye chinta. Analysis of what has been explained by the commentator. Ukta vishaye chinta. Okay. Then anukta. If you split that, ukta, anukta, ukta, then anukta. Anukta means what? Unsaid. So, a thorough analysis of whatever has been left without commenting upon by the commentator. The uncommented, okay, if the commentator has left some words, ignoring them or overlooking them, he left the words without commenting upon them, and whereas Vartikakara does not leave. He picks up those unexplained words and he comments upon it, analyzes those words. So analysis of the anukta, unexplained words of the original text. Anukta. Then durukta. So third is what? Analysis of incorrectly explained or which are different from the Vartikara's views. Analysis of the words which differ from the commentator's views. The Vartikara's views. Durukta, incorrectly said. Suppose the commentator has, when he comment upon it, if the explanation is somewhere is this vagueness or corrections, something, then he can give a different view also. The commentator, Vartikakara, can give his own views, which is different from the commentator's views. That's called Durukta. So, Anukta Chinta, Anukta Vishaye Chinta, Ukta Vishaye Chinta, Durukta Vishaye Chinta. Chinta literally means, you know, paying attention. So Vartikam is a text obtaining in verse form wherein three factors are taken into account. Ukta Vishaye and a thorough analysis of the already explained words of the commentator. Or analysis of the unexplained words of the original text, then the different views of the Vartikakara. If three things are found, that text is called Vartikam. So he will not go into the explanation of the already explained. He only analyzed the already explained by the commentator. This is the slight difference. Okay, this is Vartikam. So you can say, Uktanukta Duruktanam Chintayatra Pravartate Tam Grantham Vartikam Prahuhu Vartikajnaha Manishinaha. This is the definition of Vartikam in Sanskritam. Okay, you have learned today definition of Bhashyam, definition of Vartikam. Have you got any doubts here? No doubts. Okay. This is, I must have taught you this long, long ago. But I waited. Okay. Even though you are not going to read the original Bhashyam, still I wanted you to understand. We are going to study everything in English anyway. Not Sanskrit. So here, what I want to say here, just to say why the word Brihat is used here. Because the Vartikam written by Suresh Acharya for the Shankara's Bhashyam also is much bigger. So Brihad Upanishad, Brihattaram Bhashyam, Brihattamam Vartikam. The biggest Vartikam also we have. And consisting of 12,000 verses. So, with the understanding of the Upanishad, we have to enter into the Upanishad study, but before even we get into the Upanishadic study, we have to understand the introductory bhashyam. It's called Upodghata Bhashyam. And the Shankara Bhagavatpada has written, as he said, already said, the bhashyam is very important here. The bhashyam is so big, beautiful, an excellent bhashyam of Shankara Bhagavatpada here for this Upanishad. But in his introductory bhashyam, he is also very, very well known, very popular. Shankara Bhagavatpada's commentary, especially the introductory bhashyam for this Upanishad, is also very popular one. It's called Sambandha Bhashyam. Sambandha Bhashyam. The Sambandha Bhashyam is introductory bhashyam to the Upanishad. And even for the Sambandha Bhashyam also, Suresh Acharya has done Vartikam. That's called Bhashya Brihadaranyakopanishad Bhashya Sambandha Bhashya Vartikam. Now, because this Suresh Acharya's Vartikam is so big, Brihattamam, so big, we hardly have time to read all those verses. Therefore, Vidyaranya Swami, who came later in Shringeri Matha, and he has written the Vartika Brihadaranyakopanishad, the Bhashya Vartika Sara. He has written the Vartika Saraha, a text called Vartika Sara, essence of the Vartikam. He has written a book. If you don't have time to read all the Vartikams, you can read Vidyaranya Swami's Vartika Sara. And Vartika Sara is also very big. So somebody else came and that person wrote this Vartika Sara Sangraha. Vartika Sara Sangraha is another text. So Vartika, if you don't have time to read Vartika Sara, better read Vartika Sara Sangraha. So a book, Vartika Sara Sangraha, Vartika Saraha, and we have Vartikam. Like that, so many texts we have here to understand Brihadaranyakam. We never think of so many things for any other opponents like Brihadaranyakam. Even to understand the whole of Brahma Sutras also, you need to know Brihadaranyakam. Only then you can appreciate the Brahma Sutra teaching. Because a lot of quotations come from this Upanishad. Anyway, see, the definitions are not important. I only, for out of interest, I told you. You don't need to know what is Bhashyam and what is Vartikam and all that. You need to understand the actual vision of the Upanishad. That is more important. But still, I just thought, let me teach you this, okay? Talk this. Now, this Sambandha Bhashyam is so very well known. And Sambandha means relationship or connection. So what is the subject matter? What is the content of this Sambandha Bhashyam? If you see, this Sambandha Bhashyam discusses Sambandha between Karma Kandaha and Jnana Kandaha. Karma Jnana Kandayoho Sambandham Varnayati or Nirupayati. It discusses the relationship, the connection between Karma Kandaha and Jnana Kandaha. Karma Jnana Kandayoho Sambandha is called Karma Jnana Kandayoho Sambandha. Sambandha, the connection, the relationship between Karma Kanda and Jnana Kanda is thoroughly discussed in this Bhashyam. So what is the purpose? I will briefly tell you what is the purpose. Shankar Bhagavatpada, in fact we will see, I am going to do it very elaborately later on. The three important factors in this Bhashyam, by discussing the relationship between these two khandas, what he wants to establish is, see, karma khandaha is also a pramanam in revealing certain facts. Because there are a lot of confusions about it. Only jnana khandaha is the pramanam. What about karma khandaha? Karma khandaha also is a pramanam in revealing certain facts. Karma khandaha does not reveal the nature of the atma, nature of the reality. Karma khandaha is not the pramanam for the atma jnanam. But karma khandha is but also pramanam in revealing certain facts. Why he has to do that? Because there are pura mimamsakaha. When you say pura mimamsakaha, people who are given to thorough analysis of the karma khandha of the Veda. The mimamsa itself means matum icha mimamsa. The analysis of the analytical study is called Mimamsa. So people who analyze thoroughly the mantras of the Karma Kanda are called Mimamsakaha. And Pura Mimamsakaha means the Karma Kanda Mimamsakaha. Pura Mimamsakaha. Uttara Mimamsa means Brahma Sutras. The Kapoor Mimamsakaha, the people who are the Karmakandis, and they hold on to one strict factor, their Karmakanda only for them. Karmakanda is mainly for making people perform actions. Perform rituals. Making people do the rituals. So Kriya, the performance of rituals is very important. And they do not give importance for the statements of facts. Pura Mimamsakas do not give importance for statement of facts, because statements of facts are unimportant for them. According to them, according to Pura Mimamsakas, only statements of actions. Statement of actions is called Kriya Bodhaka Vakyam. Kriya Bodhaka Vakyam means a statement of action. Siddha Bodhaka Vakyam means a statement of fact. So Kriya Bodhaka Vakyam is statement of action. Agnihotram Juhyat. Suppose may one perform this action, one perform this ritual. If we say there are words, the statements of action are called Kriya Bodhaka Vakyam. A sentence or statement which reveals the activity, which reveals the ritual, the given ritual, given action, it's called Kriya Bodhaka Vakyam. There are also statements of facts. Sattvamasi or Upasakaha will go to Swargaloka. Such statements. The statements of facts are called Siddha Bodhaka Vakyam. And for them, Kriya alone is important. The Kriya Bodhaka Vakyams are important. Siddha Bodhaka Vakyams are unimportant for the Pura Mimamsakas. They don't accept. Before Shankara Bhagavatpada in his Bhashyam, first of all, he makes it very clear. Karma Kanda does not have only statements of Karmakanda does not have only statements of action. Karmakanda also have statement of facts. And those statements of facts are also important, equally important. Not only statements of action are important, statements of facts revealed in the Karmakanda also are equally important. I'm only talking about the first point, okay? I have not gone to second and third points. And for which he gives an example. Just to say, Karmakandaha does not have only statements of actions. Karmakandaha also have statement of facts. And those statements of facts are also very important. This Shankara establishes in the, as the first point. For which he gives the example. The example given by him is, see, the one who practices, performs ritual and practices given upasanam will go to Swarga after his death. This is a statement of fact. Which means this statement, one who performs ritual and practices upasanam will go to Swarga means, what is the fact revealed there? This is a statement from Karmakanda. What is the fact there? The fact is, the jiva survives death. The jivatma, when the body falls, jiva survives death. If jiva also, the jiva doesn't survive death, who will go to heaven then? How can he go to heaven? How can he go and enjoy other pleasures? And if the jiva doesn't survive death means, then why should we perform ritual for going to heaven? Therefore, jiva survives death is a fact, and this is revealed by the only Veda. This cannot, jiva surviving death cannot be logically understood. No reasoning can help one understand this. So this is a fact, and this fact is important. If this is not a fact, then Karmakandi cannot perform ritual. So this is only example I'm giving. Therefore, Shankar Bhagavatpada makes it very clear. We have not entered that. You only just giving the example. The first important aspect of the Bhashyam is Karmakandaha does not have only statements of actions. Karmakanda also has statement of facts. So Karmakanda also serves as a pramanam, a means of knowledge of understand certain facts. One thing. The second aspect is, Karmakanda is not a means for attainment of moksha. Karmakandaha is not moksha sadhanam. Karmakanda is not the means of attaining moksha. Is this made very clear? So to accomplish the ultimate goal called moksha, what you need is jnanam. And for that jnanam, you need only jnanakandaha, not karmakanda. This, so karmakanda is not the means of moksha. This is the second point explained. And the third factor he explains is, let me do it briefly today, and then I'll explain in the next class again. The third point is, even though Karmakanda is not the moksha sadhanam, still Karmakanda is very important. Because Karmakanda alone prepares one for the knowledge. So Karmakanda is not directly the means of knowledge. or means attainment of moksha. So karma kanda, by preparing the mind for jnanam, it becomes an indirect means of moksha. So karma kanda is also equally important. The third point he establishes in his commentary. In fact, the whole of Bhagavad Gita, what we understand, all the time Krishna emphasizes repeatedly, for moksha what you need is jnanam, but for jnanam you need mental preparation, and for that mental preparation you need karma, which has to be performed with proper attitude as yoga. That is the fact repeatedly emphasized, and for which this Sambandha Bhashyam is a very big support. The whole, what is the source of Bhagavad Gita teaching? Upanishad teaching is a source. So here, the third point Krishna, the Shankara makes in his Bhashyam is, even though Karma Kanda is not directly the moksha sadhanam, still Karma Kanda is very, very important, because it is Karma Kanda which alone contributes for preparing one's mind for jnanam, which is the direct means of moksha. The Karma Kanda is also important. This is the third point he establishes in his commentary. What three facts he establishes in his commentary? Karma Kanda is not only the Karya Pradhanam. Not only, Karma Kanda does not have only a statement of action. Karma Kanda also has statement of facts. Therefore, Karma Kanda also serves as a means of knowledge of certain facts. And Karma Kanda is not moksha sadhanam. And the third point is, Karma Kanda, even though it is not moksha sadhanam, it should not be undermined. Karma Kanda also should be given importance, because Karma Kanda prepares the mind for jnanam, thereby it serves indirect means of attainment of moksha. The three important factors, these are three factors, actually Shankara Bhagavatpada makes very clear in his whole of this big Sambandha Bhashyam. How he does it, we are going to see elaborately next class. We'll see one by one. When I explain that, the three points will become much clearer only when I explain that. Until I explain, please don't do any, just wait for me to explain. This will be very clear when I explain. When I take it one by one and explain, it will become much clearer. Therefore, if we ignore, dismiss and reject karma as useless thing, it is very dangerous. If we overvalue karma as the only sadhana for moksha, also we are overvaluing karma is also dangerous. Undermining, underestimating karma is also dangerous. We have to give due value and respect for karma. The karma kanda definitely serves as a means of preparation for jnanam. So karma kanda is equally important, even though karma kanda is not direct means for moksha. This point he is establishing in this Sambandha Bhashyam. That's why karma jnana kandayoho sambandha atra vishayaha. Therefore, it's called Sambandha Bhashyam. It's only introduction. And I'll continue my class for you next class.
Okay. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.